We are finishing up our sermon series on God's story. Today we'll be talking about the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, about the end times. I considered very briefly riding in here on a pale horse. But I know Jenny doesn't like animals in worship, so I decided against it. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we come. We give you great thanks for the scope of the story that has been laid out for us. We give you great thanks that this isn't just a story, this isn't just a children's fable. But Lord, that by your power, it can change us. That it is your word to us. And so as we come this morning, preparing to hear your word proclaimed, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to see, soften our hearts to receive your message, that we might be changed and go from this place reflecting more closely the people that you would want us to be. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a kid, I wanted more than anything to get bit by a radioactive spider. Or accidentally maybe get hit by some gamma rays. Or maybe, you know, stumble upon some dying alien who needed to bestow upon some worthy human the responsibility of protecting the universe. Or better yet, secretly be an alien who hadn't yet realized his superhuman powers. I'm not gonna lie, I'm starting to think it might be a good idea to be the daughter of Zeus and Hippolyta. Admittedly, Wonder Woman's costume might have to be altered a bit. I have big thighs. For those of you who don't watch superhero movies or have never read a comic book, my childhood dream or dreams may not make all that much sense to you. But every superhero has a backstory. What is called an origin story oftentimes. It's the story of how they came to be and how they received their powers and how they came to fight evil on Earth. All the best superheroes have origin stories. They help us understand what shapes the superhero in question, what provides the backbone to their ethos, their morality, why they care about the things they do, why they practice the rituals they do. For example, Spider-Man, many of you may remember, is driven by the death of his uncle and the dying words of his uncle that become a mantra for him: "With great power comes great responsibility, right? That is the backstory. That's the origin story that helps us to understand who Spider-Man was and what mattered to him. The truth be told, we all have origin stories. Our country has stories that it tells over and over, some of which are apocryphal. For example, the cutting down of the cherry tree by George Washington, but many of them are not. Many families have origin stories. They tell over and over the story of grandma and grandpa who came to America from the old country. Those stories are important to us. They help to shape us, much like Spider-Man was shaped by his origin story. But they help to provide a backbone for our ethos and our morality. They help us understand why we care about the things that we do and why we participate in the rituals we do. For 7 weeks, we have been talking about God's story. And I hope that you all understand this is our origin story. God's story is the story of our beginning. I don't just mean the creation story, although that's definitely part of it. What I mean is that this entire story of God, from creation through covenant and exile and incarnation and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's our shared story. It's our origin story. But this morning's part of the story, the part of God's story that we want to tell this morning, it's not like the rest of the story. Any of you who've read the book of Revelation realize it's a little different. See, it's the story of God isn't just a story of what has gone on in the past. It isn't just history. This morning's story isn't an origin story. It's a destination story. Now, in some ways, the destination story is just like an origin story. In some ways, it's different. The origin story asks, where did I come from? The destination story asks, where am I going? We don't have a lot of experience with destination stories, but in the end, the destination story, this destination story that we have, serves much of the same purpose as the origin story does. It should help to shape us. It should help provide a backbone to our ethos and morality. It should help us understand why we care about the things that we do and why we participate in the rituals we do. See, in looking at this destination story, there's something very important that I want us to notice. It's something that connects both this destination story and the entire rest of the origin story very deeply. It's actually one simple word that is found twice in this passage, once as a verb and once as a noun. To dwell, or dwelling. There's something about this idea that God would dwell with humanity that ties this whole story together. From the very first part of the first chapter of Genesis, all the way through the 22nd chapter of Revelation. The literal translation of this word is actually tent or tabernacle. And Scripture is filled with God's tabernacle journey along with God's people. Remember that God dwelled with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember that when the Israelites left the promised land, God's presence was said to go with them. Interestingly, to dwell in the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. God dwelled with the Israelites in their exile and sought to redeem them from the consequences of their sin. God dwelled with all creation when God became human in the person of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the word that the Gospel of John uses, when it says the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, is that word, tabernacle. Tabernacled among us, tented among us. God continues to dwell with us in the person of the Holy Spirit that creates community and makes of us the body of Christ. The entire story of God is the story of a God who goes to extraordinary ends to dwell with us. It's our history. It's our origin story. And here we see that at the end of it all, in the end, God's aim will be fulfilled. What is God's ultimate goal? To dwell with God's people. To tabernacle with the objects of God's love and affection. This has always, always been God's aim. This is why God has never given up. This is why God became human and lived among us. Both the origin story and the destination story reveal to us the same truth about the God we worship, that God's objective is to be with us. That's why God has done all the rest of it. That's the point of the story. And the purpose of this last book of the Bible, the purpose of this book that is so confusing and so confounding for so many of us, is that God will not be thwarted in fulfilling God's aims. No beast or dragon or plague or famine, no world ruler, no terrorist organization, no global movement is ever going to thwart what God wants to do. In the end, God wins. The message of this book is that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how desperate it seems, no matter who's the president, no matter who is the leader of Iran or Iraq or anywhere else, God will not be thwarted. Do not lose heart. This part of the story is the part of the story where we get a glimpse of where we are going. Now, if the story of where we have come from can shape who we are and how we live in the world, how much more so the story of where we are going? So many read the book of Revelation as though God is trying to tell us specifically what is going to happen at the end of the world. But I think when we do that, we miss the point. It becomes almost an attempt to read the destination story like it's a part of the origin story. But this is a story not about where we have come from. It's a story about where we are going. It's an invitation to a promised future. It's a promise that God's aims will not be thwarted, that God cannot be overcome, and that in the end, God wins. But it is also a reminder to us. It's a reminder, and I hope a powerful reminder for all of you, that not all of God's story has yet been written. Now, there's no more scripture. The canon is closed. That part of God's story is done. But God's story is not over. God yet has work that God wants to do. God's story is being written, and there are still to this day, there are Moseses and Joshuas and Deborahs and Marys that are still writing the story. And there are Randy's and Fred's and Joe's and Donna's and Lindsay's and Paige's and Jack's that are still writing this story. God's story is still being written, and you and I get to help write it. You and I get to participate with God in the work that God is doing even now as we look forward to the destination that God has for all of us. The story is not over. Even as we conclude a sermon series and we read the last chapter of the book that we have, it's important for us to understand that this chapter in the book, it points us to the fact that God's not done, that God yet has work to do, that the story is still being written, and that we are all invited to participate in it. I want you to imagine for a moment that you were an author. And you were writing a story. Imagine for a moment that you already had the greatest ending in mind to that story. Imagine that the conclusion of that story was perfect. And you knew exactly how the story was going to end. Would a knowledge of the end of the story impact the way you wrote the rest of it? If you knew how the story was going to end, would it change? Would it influence the way you wrote the rest of the story? God's story isn't done. God has invited you and I to continue to write God's story with God. God already wrote the end, and the end of the story, well, it should give shape to everything that is left for us to write. In all that we do, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, let us not forget the end of the story. God wins, and God will dwell with us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.